It's good to be here this evening. I appreciate the pastor allowing me to speak. Made me a little nervous when he came to me about a week ago and asked me if I could speak tonight. It's a little nerve-wracking being up here, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad that he's given me this opportunity. How many of you like oranges? Just a quick raise of hand. Public response. Where do we get oranges from? What type of tree? Well, how do we know it's an orange tree? What if I tied oranges to an apple tree? Would that make it an orange tree, or would it still be an apple tree? It would still be an apple tree, and the oranges would probably dry out and not produce the good, sweet juice, the sweet, good pulp that we like. It may have oranges attached to it, but it's not what an apple tree naturally produces. In order to get an orange, we've got to go to an orange tree. As Christians, we have fruit that we should naturally bear. Wouldn't you agree? And that fruit is going to come from within. It's going to come from within our hearts that the Holy Spirit places there for us to live out our godly lives. Tonight, we're going to take a look at characteristics of a Christian. Characteristics of a Christian. And my text is going to be pulled from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And as we read these scriptures, it's actually broken down into four different parts. Verse 9 speaks to us about an inward response. How do we respond ourselves in life? Verses 10 through 13, we'll take a look at response towards other Christians. Verses 14 through 16, response towards others. And then we'll close out 17 through 21, response towards our enemies. So let me read the scripture to us. I'm going to read verse 9 to start off with. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So the first characteristic of a Christian is that we love without hypocrisy. If you look up the definition of hypocrisy, it is the practice of engaging in the same behavior or activity for which one criticizes another. Or the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. To describe what's being spoken, what Apostle Paul is saying here about hypocrisy, we're going to take a look at the second part of that definition, the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. We have all learned how to pretend, haven't we? How many of you have ever been in a bad mood, but you get yourself in a situation, you put on a happy face? We all do that. We're all guilty of doing that. We know what to say. We know when to say it. Basically, we have learned through life on how to act in whatever situation we face ourselves in. I'm in sales, been in sales for 22 years, and in the sales arena, we basically call it, we call it knowing your customer. Knowing how to apply whatever you need to the situation. In entertainment, they call knowing your audience. But as Christians, we need to make sure that we're being true to the situation, being true to what God has put upon us. Do not be hypocritical in what we say and what we do. What Paul is instructing here is for us to display a genuine love that goes beyond simple politeness. A genuine love to go beyond simple politeness. The second part of that verse says to abhor what is evil. This one should be easy to follow, shouldn't it? Yet this is one that we probably struggle with the most. We probably struggle with abhorring evil the most. If you love God with all your heart and love our fellow believers, we should by nature hate evil. Evil harms our relationships with each other. It harms our relationship with God. It allows blemishes to appear. It damages your testimony. God is holy, and to be holy means to be what? Separated from sin. So if you abhor what evil, you're separating yourself from that sin. As believers, we too are called to be holy. In order to truly love God, we must hate evil. Evil is not hard to identify, but yet we still struggle with it. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 gives us a good starting point of what God hates. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These 16 the Lord hates, yes, 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. That's a starting point for us to learn what evil is. In order to abhor evil, we've got to know what evil is and be able to remove ourselves from it. The third part of verse 9 says, cling to what is good. To cling to something means to hold on tight, to grab a hold of it, to gravitate to it. There are only two types of things in this world. There's good and there's evil. Scripture is clear on that. If we avoid things that are evil, we have no option but to cling to things that are good. The Greek word for good in this verse is agathos, which means excellent, distinguished, upright, and honorable. These are the things that a Christian should cling to. Things that are distinguished, upright, honorable, and excellent. Those are inward responses. Those are responses as Christians that you should have internally when you're faced with various situations, when you're faced through life. Those are the responses that you are called upon to have in your inward response. Secondly, we'll take a look at responses towards other Christians. How are we supposed to respond to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as things come up? So let's take a look at verse 10. It reads as this, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. So verse 10, we're supposed to love with honor. What does it mean, be kindly affectionate with brotherly love, giving preference and honor? These acts of love are genuine and are without any type of self-serving motivation. Each act is seeking the good of others, not ourselves. If you were to take a look at the ESV translation, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. NIV says to honor one another above yourselves. So we can take a look at honor from two different perspectives. One form of honor is full of ulterior motives. You're like, Brother John, what are you talking about, ulterior motives? How can you honor somebody and have ulterior motive? How many of you have not been a big fan of maybe your supervisor or your boss at work at some time throughout your career? We've all been there. What do, though? You still show them honor and respect because you want to maintain your position. You're trying to move up the corporate ladder or whatever. How about a politician? We honor a politician because we might want them to vote a particular way in a bill, on a particular bill or city ordinance or a tax situation. So in those situations, you're honoring somebody, but you have an ulterior motive. You have something that you're trying to get done, so you're honoring them in a way that is not maybe 100% genuine. But the honor that's spoken of here, the Apostle Paul speaks of in verse 10, is the honor rooted in our love for God. It's simply loving others because they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. You realize we're going to spend eternity together? We might as well get along down here because we're going to spend eternity with each other. We can have differences, we can have disagreements, but we can always have a love and an honor and a true respect for each other. They too were made in God's image, just like you. So be genuine, love with honor. What's this mean to us in simple terms put? In simple terms to put it, put others before yourself. Put someone else's needs before your own. Show others honor, show them respect, and just be genuine. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This was a tough one for me to take a look at. I pulled several commentaries to take a look at on this here, and this was, Bible scholars went in all kinds of different directions. But I took it as be passionate in serving God. Be passionate in serving God. I might be taking a chance with my next comment here, but have a good attitude about serving. Don't serve simply out of an obligation. Don't simply serve because you think it looks good. Or nobody else is going to do it, so I guess I'll do it. That's not the right attitude. Be passionate in serving God. Verse 1 of this chapter says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means God wants us to offer ourselves to Him by laying aside the desires of the flesh and put all our focus and energy into allowing Him to guide us daily through the Holy Spirit. And that will give us opportunities to be passionate in our serving of God. If you allow God to be your guide, you will have the right attitude. I'm thinking of the event we're going to have in a couple weeks celebrating America, the meal we're going to have. At this point, I haven't been asked to help in any capacity. I'm not necessarily volunteering for it. But if I'm asked, I'll have the right attitude about helping. And if you're asked or if you're participating, have the right attitude. Be willing to serve cheerfully. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. My encouragement for a Christian in this verse here is commune with God. Have a relationship with God. Read God's word and have an active prayer life. These two things teach and guide a Christian's hope in things to come. You know what a Christian's hope is? Second coming of Christ. The fact that we know we're going to spend eternity with God. Our hope is in the future. This is the reason for our joy. Joy is not based on circumstances. You can have joy when you're going through the biggest storm that's ever been thrown your way because you know who holds you. There's a song, The Anchor Holds. God has a hold of you. I'm not going to get into it tonight. Y'all have heard part of mine and Rachel's testimony. But when we went through some struggles, there's a song by Casting Crowns called Praise You in the Storm. And I don't know who's lately. Somebody's done a remix of it, which I think is very well done. The lady has done. But that was a song that gave me encouragement through some trying times that me and Rachel went through. So have hope. Commune with God. He'll carry you. He'll give you encouragement. He'll give you strength. He'll allow you to get through each day. Be patient in tribulation. And this, the Apostle Paul is reminding us of what Romans 8:18 says. The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This seems tough, but we are rejoicing in hope. If we are rejoicing in hope, this command be easier to follow. Do you have a daily prayer time? Prayer puts us in fellowship with the Father, allows us to commune with God. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Be hospitable. Hospitality. I can't remember where I came across that, but gave a comparison of hospitality and entertaining. You think about being hospitable, you think of entertaining, but they're actually two completely different things. I had never really thought about it. Entertaining focuses on the one doing the entertaining. You have folks over to your home, you're entertaining them in your home. Your home's got to be nice. You got to have everything in place. Everything's got to be clean. The food's got to be right. Temperature in the house has got to be right. You've got to make sure everybody's taken care of. Whereas hospitality focuses on the one that you're serving. It's not about you. It's about the one that you're serving. If someone has a need, we should help meet that need. If it's clothing, help provide them with some clothes. You may not have the financial resources yourself to go out and buy them clothing, but help put them in contact with a clothes closet, with one of the nonprofits here in our local community. Offer some help. If it's food, provide them with a meal or get them in contact with somebody who can provide them with a meal. If it's needing a place to stay, see what you can do to help find them a place to stay. There are several organizations within our community that we can point them towards and guide them and help them with. The Life Application Bible puts it like this. Hospitality can happen in a messy home. Opposite of entertaining, correct? It can happen around a dinner table where the main dish is canned soup. It can even happen while the host and the guests are doing chores together. Don't be afraid to offer hospitality just because you're too tired, too busy, or not wealthy enough to entertain. That sums it up pretty good, doesn't it? What hospitality is. Keep in mind that all we own is given to us by God. We're called to be good stewards of the resources that He's given them. Make sure that you're being hospitable. You're using the resources and the talents and the gifts that God's given you to be supportive and hospitable to others. We are to help equip one another for furtherance of the kingdom. Those were our responses towards other Christians. Let's take a look at responses towards others. This is going to be verses 14 through 16. Let me read verse 14 for us. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. What's our natural response if somebody does something to us? Respond back in kind, am I right? We want to get even, get back with them. We want to respond in a negative manner to those who hurt us. We'll try to avoid doing good for them at all. Somebody hurts you, so you're not going to go out your way to do something nice for them. Well, that's not what we're being told to do here. Paul is commanding us to not do that. And Jesus in Matthew 5:44 says to love your enemies, bless them that curse you and persecute you. This goes to show us this is not a new concept. This is something that Jesus himself instructed us to do. Responding in this manner makes a bold statement to unbelievers. Turn the other cheek. I shared with Sunday school this morning your testimony. The strongest way to express your testimony is the way that you react in various situations. Be careful what you say. Watch your tongue. Bite your tongue. If you respond in a positive manner, that'll have a greater impact on the lost world than if you jump in there and say, well, he was mean to me, I'm going to be mean right back. That's not the way to respond. That's not the way a Christian responds. You've heard the saying, it's easier to catch flies with honey than it is with vinegar. Exactly what I'm talking about there. How are we going to bring people into the kingdom of God if they do not see a difference between the world and the kingdom of God? We are set apart for a purpose. Make sure you respond properly. Your testimony is easy to damage and takes years to repair. Be sure you're not hurting your witness by lashing out at others. So bless others. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be sincere. Be sincere in these times. We're called in Scripture to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we're called to weep with those who weep. As a Christian, do you truly rejoice when good things happen to others? You should. We're to be genuine when rejoicing with others. This requires the absence of jealousy. Be content. Be happy if something great goes for somebody else. Be an encouragement to them. Proverbs 17:5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. So take that rejoicing with others and reverse it. If something bad happens to somebody else, you get a little smile. You're happy about it a little bit. They got what they deserve. They must not be living right. That's not the attitude for us to have as a child of God. If we rejoice in others' misfortunes, we need to reevaluate our motives. 1 Corinthians 12, 26 and 27. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going through this journey of life together. Y'all realize that, don't you? We're going through life together. We may not be walking hand in hand all throughout life together, but we are going through life together, especially in a fellowship such as this. We need to get involved in the lives of others. This requires us to be there for each other, both good and bad. Do what Scripture says. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. My wife's family recently went through a tragedy a few months ago. And it was through that, some of the outreach, some of the outpouring from our family, friends in the community, and from this church, what served as an encouragement to us. You know the one thing that did? That taught us how to be there for others in similar situations that they might find themselves in. Same thing goes for rejoicing with each other. We need to be an encouragement for each other. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. You need to be humble. Don't put yourself on the pedestal. Paul's instructing us here to treat each other on the same level. We're not to be a respecter of persons. We're supposed to treat everyone equally. We're all children of God. Moves on to our next section, response towards our enemies. Now, this is probably the toughest one for us to apply. This is probably the one that most Christians struggle with the most, is our response towards our enemies. And we'll start with verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. So a characteristic of a Christian here is to be forgiving. If we love others the way Christ loves us, we'll be quick to forgive. As a result of experiencing God's grace, we should have a desire to pass that same grace along to others. Remember the acronym for grace that sometimes used, God's riches at Christ's expense? We should desire to pass that grace along to others. Be forgiving. Do not hold grudges. I remember when I used to speak to the youth once a month on Wednesday nights. I remember talking there one time about holding a grudge. If I hold a grudge towards somebody, who am I really hurting? I'm hurting myself. I see that person that just puts a negative vibe in me. That person might not even know I have a grudge against them. They might be completely clueless. But when you hold a grudge towards somebody, you're actually hurting yourself. And you're hurting your testimony. You're hurting your witness because you're having a negative attitude at that point. Verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Notice how the Apostle Paul starts off this verse here, if it is possible. So what's that mean to us? That means that the Apostle Paul realizes that there's some situations or some times where it's not going to be possible to have peace with somebody. However, as Christians, we're supposed to make every effort possible to restore fellowship, to forgive, not necessarily forget, but to forgive and be able to move on. There will be times where you have tried everything in your power, yet peace is not obtainable. It's times like this we are supposed to just simply pray. Just simply pray for God's guidance and direction and allow God to remove any hostility that we might have towards that person away from us. Verses 19 through 21. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm in sales. Those of you who know me, I've been in outside sales for 22 years. I'm presently in the management role, so I'm not out in the field as much as I was. But when I first started sales, I had the opinion, had the thought that I thought everybody had to like me. I wanted to make everybody happy. I wanted to solve all my customers' problems. Truth of the matter is, there's some people out there just simply aren't going to like you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what deal you cut for them, they're just simply just not going to care for you. They don't like the way you walk. They don't like the way you cut your hair. they don't, I mean, they just simply aren't going to like you. And keep in mind that the majority of the people out there already have their minds made up. They have a preconceived notion on something about you. They might have heard something from one of your competitors 5 years ago that may have been true, may not have been true. You may have been a changed person. You may have been lost at that time, but you're saved now. But they're still in their mind have a preconceived notion of how you are. Nothing that you say or do is going to change that. So allow God to fight your battles for you. Allow God to fight your battles for you. Do not allow someone else to cause you to damage your testimony. If they don't like you, they don't like you. I'm sorry. Just do your best and move on. Pray for them. And pray that God will allow you to maintain your testimony. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. It's a funny story. I mentioned I've been outside sales for 22 years. I have only ever been kicked out of one office. In 22 years, I've only ever had one customer kick me out of his office. Today, he's probably one of my best customers as far as relationship. He's a fellow believer, lives over in Cairo. He loved Bill Stern. Bill would go and preach at First Baptist in Cairo. We made a connection after that day he kicked me out because I was back in his office in 15 minutes. I left. Wasn't happy. Those who know me, I can't let something go. I called him up on the phone and said, we need to work this out. We need to come to some type of conclusion. And we did, and it was through the grace of God that he allowed me back in his office, and we had a 30-minute conversation, and like I said, today, he's one of my best customers. Maybe not dollar-wise, but as far as just a good, genuine relationship with a fellow believer. Let God fight your battles. That was God working there. That was God working there. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, and he worked that out. He didn't cause harm towards him, which we think of vengeance. We think of harm. We think about, you know, getting even. That wasn't a situation where God used vengeance in a negative sense. He allowed it to work itself out. Paul is saying that we're not to become the victim, but to become the victor by repaying evil with good. We may never be able to restore fellowship with those who wrong us, but forgiving them removes our burden and prevents us from becoming bitter. Prevents us from having that resentment I spoke of earlier. When you see somebody, just automatic something negative comes to mind. That's not a good way to live. So allow the Lord to work our battles for us and repay with good. Do not give place to wrath. This message is not simply about how to be a Christian. It's Father's Day, so I thought about this is how to be a Christian father. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian father? Love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love with honor. Be passionate in serving God. Commune with God. Be hospitable. Bless others. Be sincere. In other words, be genuine. Be who you are. Be humble. Be forgiving. Be peaceful. And overcome evil with good. I went back to Brother John's notes on this passage here. I think it was in 17 when we studied Romans. I had to go back and lost my Sunday school lessons to find Brother John's notes on this. And I remember that lesson after reading it was he had us a checklist. And I asked you the question, these 13 things I mentioned here, if we had it on a checklist, how many of those could you check off? How many could you check off? Personally, I have some work to do in some areas. I'm pretty good, you know. I'm pretty good, but there's some areas where I can always improve. I'm not always the most hospitable person. I'm not always the most forgiving. My parents and my sisters sitting back in the room back there, I'm not always the most peaceful. I don't always overcome evil with good, but however, I strive each and every day to be the Christian that God's called me to be. I strive each and every day to be the father that God's called me to be the spiritual leader of my household. How about you? Where are you on this list? Do you have some areas that you can work on? Well, I would encourage you to pray and ask God to help you in any area that you might be weak in. Pray that God will help you be an effective witness for Him each and every day as we go about our lives, work, places we shop, doctor's offices, people we interact with, social events. Just allow God to allow you to display these characteristics we took a look at this morning from Romans, or this afternoon from Romans chapter 12. Let me close this with a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you today. I want to thank you for allowing us to gather here as a group of believers, Lord, to study your word. I just want to thank you for allowing me to hopefully put some clear thoughts down on paper and to share with the congregation, share with my fellow brothers and sisters this evening, Lord. I just want to pray for your continued guidance and direction upon our lives and pray that we will be able to be effective in all aspects of our witness. Lord, and these characteristics, just allow them to live true in our hearts as we go about trying to do your will each and every day. Lord, I thank you for our pastor. I pray you give him safe travels this week as he travels back home to us later in the week, Lord. I just love you and thank you for all you do. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Now is the time of invitation. If you have some business to do with God, the altar will be open.